dear brother Tom Richter's this morning.
Still muted. No.
Satan was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, and the Lord spoke to Satan, and the Bible says that after he left him, that he departed for a more opportune time. And I would suggest to you that the triumphal entry was an opportune time where he would come and whisper into the ears of Jesus, "Now's the time. Go for it. Look, you got the crowds ready. Go for it." But Jesus had to say, "No, this is not the time." Was he tempted? Yes, he was. He was tempted. Because Satan tempted him at every opportunity. Satan tempted him, but at opportune times especially. You see, he had just come through to the end of his life, and there were miracles everywhere. People were following him. All he had to do was show up, and people were there. And it was an opportune time for Satan to say, "This is the time, go for it." But in the strength and meekness of his character, he said, "No, this is not the time. This is not the Father's time." And I want to say to you, that is important that we hear that, because the enemy will tempt us to do things out of season. We need to hear God for the season. Amen? It takes wisdom not to jump at the opportunity. And sometimes jumping at the opportunity is the easiest way. But Jesus wasn't going to take the easy way. He took the hard way. He took the Father's way. And the Father's way is always the hard way, the difficult way. Today I'm going to show you from Luke chapter 8. And I just want to title the sermon, I think, is Storm Chaser. Or Storm Chaser. The Storm Chaser. In Luke chapter 8, this, by the way, this story is in all three Gospels. It's in Matthew 8, Luke 8. It's also at the end of Mark 4 and the beginning of Mark 5. in verse 22. That's where I will start. Now it came about on one of those days that he said, he and his disciples got into a boat. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. And as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. I can just imagine Jesus was very tired, very exhausted. If you read just before this, you'll see there were many miracles that he had done. And he had been with the crowds. He was tired. He was exhausted. You know, he was in a human body. And he didn't feel like, you know, staying up. And so he found a nice, comfortable place. He fell asleep. So the scripture says that he fell asleep. And they, I'll go read the verse 23, but as they were sailing along, he fell asleep. And a fierce gale of wind descended upon the lake. And they began to be swamped and to be in danger. The waves were so huge that the water was just coming right into the boat. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And being aroused, he rebuked the wind and the surging waters. Sorry, I'm having a difficult time seeing. And the surging waters. And they stopped. And it became calm. And he said to them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? And they were fearful and amazed, saying to one another, who is this that he commands the winds and the waves, and they obey him? And they sailed to the country of the Gergesenes, which is opposite Galilee. When he had come out onto the land, a certain man from the city met him, who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time. I'm not going to read it because it's too hard for me to read right now. The story was, this man came out of the tombs and met him. And this man was full of demons. He was possessed. It's the one place in the Bible where it talks about a person being possessed. This man was possessed. He was not demonized as it is in the other scriptures where it talks about people who were set free from demonic powers. They were demonized, but this man was possessed. And Jesus spoke to him and said, who are you? And the man said, Legion. If you understand the Roman term legion, the Roman legion was about 2,000 men. So he was indicating the number of spirits that were in him was about that number. And there's a herd of swine nearby, and the demons cried out and said, don't cast us into the abyss. Don't send us to that final place. And they said, there's a herd of swine nearby. And he said, all right, you can go over there. And as soon as I went in the swine, you know the story. The swine went running down the hill and drowned themselves. But I want to go back to the words of Jesus when he challenged the men who were with him. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? What are you looking for? What are you believing in? Where is your faith? There's a parable just ahead of it in Matthew that talks about the soil, the good soil, the rocky soil, the soil where there's thorns. And I want to suggest to you the good soil is Jesus. If you're in him, you're going to grow. That's the truth. If you got your life planted in him, you're going to grow. Another place he talks about the vine, doesn't he? He said, if the branch is connected to the vine, it's going to produce. If it isn't connected, it's dead. And Jesus was saying to these men, where is your faith? Where is your faith? He was challenging them. He was saying to them, do you not recognize who's with me? Do you not yet understand who I am? Do you not yet understand that if I'm in this boat, it's going to get to where it's going? Do you not understand who I am? Do you not understand all that's within me? And it was a challenge to them. It was a challenge to them to open their eyes and understand who he was. And further on in Scripture, he says to them, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter gets that blinding revelation. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus rejoiced because finally the eyes are open. Do you ever wonder how many years they hung out with him without really understanding and knowing who he was? That's something I often ponder. You know, they lived with him for 3.5 years. At some point in that time, he finally asked the question, who do men say that I am? And then he turns to them and said, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Jesus says to Simon Peter, you know what, Simon Peter? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. He's opened your eyes so that you can see who I am. The all-powerful, almighty God is in your presence. And there's nothing impossible with him. He can speak to the storm and tell the storm, be still, and it's still. I saw an interesting clip last weekend about a counseling session. It was really funny. And the lady comes in the counseling session and says, now, I want you to agree to pay ahead of time, right? How much will it be? Well, it's $5 for the first 10 minutes. Okay. Well, you said it should only take 10 minutes, right? And so she starts opening up and saying everything is wrong with her. And every time she says something, he looks at her and in reply he says, stop it. And I was thinking of that when I was thinking of Jesus looking at the storm. He must have just said, stop it. Smooth. One word from Jesus calmed the storm. One word from Jesus will calm whatever storm is in your life. Whatever storm you're facing, whatever storm you're in the middle of. One word will calm it. See, I look at the man who came to meet him from the tombs. This is a man who had a real storm in his life, so much of a storm that he didn't know who he was. He didn't know and understand who he was. He was a raving lunatic. They put him in chains, and the chains couldn't hold him because the demonic powers were so strong in him, he just burst them off. I don't know what the size of the man was. He might have been a very small man. You don't have to be very large if you're operating under that kind of an influence to have power. But the point was that when Jesus met him, he told him, come out. Two words, come out. And the storm. Sometimes we get into the midst of circumstances and situations in our life. We don't know what to do. We don't understand why we are where we are. We forget to cry out to the Lord. And we try to do it in our own strength. Anybody ever go through that besides me? You try to do it in your own strength, and you just wind up in a bigger mess. And you look at it, and you go back, and you look at it again, and you keep trying, you keep trying. The point is, you can't do it in your strength. The point is, Jesus is in your life for a purpose and for a reason. And he wants a relationship with you. But if we can't open up to him some of the things that we go through, or some of the things where we feel like, oh, I got this under control, when we really don't, we're in trouble. Or we will soon wind up in trouble. But Jesus wants us to walk in a place of freedom. Wants us to walk in a place where the storm is calm. When the raging storm is coming at you, you need to know that he can stop it. You need to know that he can deal with it. There's nothing impossible with God. And the problem, more than often, is not with him, it's with us. Because that's why he said to his disciples, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Do you really believe that I am who I say I am and I can do all that I've done? You see, that's where he wants to speak to us. He wants to speak into our lives and say, the storm that you're in now, I can calm it. I've already overcome it. There's nothing that you can throw at him that he can't deal with. Including your anger. Including the depths of the problem that you're in. Whatever you have to say to him, he can handle it. God doesn't, there's no surprises with God. We don't wake up one morning and say, God, listen, I've done this, this, and this, and then we don't expect him to come back and say, oh, I didn't know that about you. He knows everything already, doesn't he? And he knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows us intimately. And he loves us with an intimate love that's unchangeable. No matter what you do, you can't change his love for you. His love is constant. It remains. When we read John 3:16, it's an awesome scripture, isn't it? God so loved the world. He loves the world. He loves everybody in the world. The truth of this is, not everybody in the world loves him. When you come to the place of loving him and understanding who he is and just wanting to be in that intimate place with him, the truth of this is it brings calm to every situation. It brings calm to our fears. It brings calm to our anxieties. It brings calm to all that we face when we get into that place with him where he can just whisper into our ear, I love you. You're my child. And there's nothing that I wouldn't do for you to rescue you from your storm. I will always rescue you on the storm. He's so faithful to us. So faithful. Even when we are not faithful to him, he's faithful to us. So I think the people of Jesus' day, when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem, on the donkey. There were a number of people who recognized from Scripture the significance of what was happening. And here's the amazing thing. The people who were supposed to know, it went completely over their heads. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they couldn't see him on the donkey. They could only see him on the white horse coming in. But it wasn't on the white horse that he came the first time. It was on the donkey. And he wasn't coming to conquer the world and rule the world at that point in time. He was coming to rule men's hearts, to save us from our sin, and to transform our lives into the image of himself. I've been reading an interesting book recently written by one of my friends at Bible College. The title of the book is God Works the Night Shift. In other words, God never sleeps. He's always on the job. And the power of that, when you understand that, you know, when we're in the path of sin, God's still working on our behalf. God's still doing things. When we think that he's off the job, the truth is, he's probably carrying us on his shoulders. When we think that everything is, you know, seems to be going nowhere, guess what? He's on the job, stirring things up to bring situations to the place to get us where he wants us. And the most important place that God wants to get us to in our walk with him is to the place where we look like Jesus and we act like Jesus. Because God wants to form his Son in us, the image of his Son in us. He wants to transform us from the people that we are, who have all these problems and all these misgivings and all these agendas and all these presupposed images of who he is. He wants to bring us into reality of who he is and form his image in us. And sometimes when things aren't going exactly how we like, you know, we think, oh God, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. God's just working on your behalf. Because God is most interested in your eternal well-being than he is in your temporal welfare. And that's where we need to understand where God is taking us, is to form us in the image of his Son, to change our lives to look more like Jesus every day. So that when we face the storms of life, we know where to turn. We know where to turn. When you have a close friend, one that you really know you can depend on, you spend a lot of time with, or you try to. You make it your supreme effort to try and spend time with that person. And that's where we need to be with Jesus. Spend time with him. Time in his presence. Time getting to know him. Time going to understand who he is and what he's done for us. See, everything that Jesus did was for us. Everything that Jesus did on the cross was for us. Everything that he overcame was for us, to make us know that we are overcomers. And a lot of times we don't believe that. We think, well, you know, I'm still weak. But no, you have everything that you need is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has overcome. We know that he overcame sin, death, and hell in the grave. He overcame all those things. And then he turned to us and gave us the Holy Spirit. If the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead indwells us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. What does that mean? A good question, isn't it? What it means is that we have access to the presence of God. And that he will make us alive and make us sense where he wants to take us. If we'll take his hand, he'll take us. So I want to encourage you this morning. If there's a storm in your life that you're dealing with right now, if there's something that you're really caught up in, we want you to understand that Jesus is here to touch you. Jesus is here to take you by the hand and walk you out of that place. He does not want to leave you there, and he won't leave you there if you'll take your hand and take hold of his. And walk in the places that he gives you to walk. And there are things that we need to learn in our life. There are confessions that we probably need to make over ourselves instead of negative confessions, maybe some positive confessions, you know, like, I am a conqueror. Are you guys awake?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think that's important, you know. You turn to the person next to you and say, I am a conqueror.
I am a conqueror.
Yeah.
I'm a conqueror.
It's good. I'm an overcomer. Because that's the truth. Listen to me. That's the truth. And that's what God wants you to walk in, is that truth. You can't be that outside of him. In him, you are that. And you're in him this morning. You've surrendered your life to Christ, you're in him. And you are a conqueror, you are an overcomer. And you cannot be defeated. And you lose some battles, possibly along the way. You might lose one or two battles, but one battle does not a war make. You lose a battle, you just get back up and say, all right, I'm ready for the next one, Lord. Are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm ready for the next one. Let's go. Because he's put something within us that we need to lay hold of. And what we need to lay hold of is the truth of his word. The truth of who we are in Christ. We need to lay hold of it very firmly. We need to understand that he said, okay, I'm giving you the sword of the Spirit. Use it. Sword of the Spirit. Wow. The word of God. Well, you know what? In order to use it, you've got to learn how to practice with it and learn what it says, you know, and use it. Because it speaks directly to you. Amen?
Yeah.
I believe it. Turn to the person next to you and say, I got a sword.
I'm not afraid to use it.
So I want to encourage you this morning because I want you to understand who you are in Christ. You know, when you understand who you are in Christ, you're going to become a warrior. You know? God wants us to be warriors. You know? That's what he's called us to be. Warriors. And he's giving you something called the armor of God, which is so powerful. You read it, I hear people say, oh, I put it on every morning. Well, I don't ever take it off. I go to sleep in it. Come on. Gotta be realistic. You know? devil can come at any time, even in the middle of the night, in a bad dream. Ready? Okay. Tenacious warriors, that's what God's called us to be. Just, you know, as we're, you know, winding up this morning, it would be good. I'd just like, if there are any of you here this morning who you really are going through a storm in your life, something that's really troubling you, just come forward. We want to pray with you. Come on. God is the God of the storm. Amen? He chases storms, but I want to tell you something. He just doesn't follow them where they land. He chases them out. Gets rid of them. Amen.
This morning, I was reminded of somebody we knew, who years ago drifted away from God and went away and left his wife and his children, and for years and years. And then I always wondered how he could do that. And then I talked to him later, this person, and said, you know, how could you do that? You know, why didn't you come home? And did you love your children? He said, I did. He said, but what held me back was guilt. He said, the thing that held me back, he said, I felt sad, I wanted to come home, but the thing that held me back was guilt. And I was just thinking about that this morning. And, you know, we're singing the song there, my chains fell off, my heart was free. And then and there's another line, it says, you know, nothing can hold me back. But actually, there is something that can hold us back. You know, the love of God can come in. But actually, if we allow guilt to hold us back, it can hold us back. I just wanted to read, it's from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. And it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And our hearts, we can have a guilty conscience, and it's only the precious blood that can cleanse us from that guilty conscience. And the word guilty is actually, it means to be held in, to be bound by. You know, where these speakers, if you look at them, there's chains on the bottom to hold them there. And our guilt can do that, can hold us in and bind us. And we have a choice, you know. The word guiltless is innocent. And Jesus was guiltless. He was innocent and blameless. And he wants us to be innocent and blameless. And only that can happen with his precious blood, the sprinkling of his blood upon our hearts today. And this word blameless and guiltless is holy and set apart. And that's Jesus. And often we can think, how can we be holy? But it's nothing to do with us, actually, and becoming good or anything, but it's to do with the precious blood of Jesus coming to sprinkle on our hearts and to cleanse us from guilt. And I think today we just need to have that choice within us. If you feel held back and bound up by guilt, God wants to encourage you today not to let the years go by and not to regret because guilt has held you back and bound you in. So I just want to pray just about that, actually. So Father, if you want to put your hands out to God, if you feel this is something in your heart, that you have something like guilt, you can wear guilt, you can almost own it and think, I deserve this, because of what I've done, what I've said, what I've thought, everything. You can feel like guilt is a punishment and you have to carry that guilt inside God. But actually, it's a lie. You know, Jesus died and he can take your guilt away. You have to choose today to open your hands, to open your heart, and to allow the sprinkling of his precious blood to come in and wash that guilt away. Father, I just pray, Lord, for each one of us now, and I pray, Holy Spirit, you will just come, and that you will show each one of us those things that hold us back, that bind us in, that guilt that we might carry, that we've carried for years, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that your precious blood will come now on each heart today, and that guilt will be washed away, and just set us free, Lord, today, and I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to say nothing but hold us back. And I pray, Father, that we have courage, Lord, as we receive your precious blood, your cleansing. And you are the innocent one, the guiltless one. And because of you, we become innocent and guiltless. And I pray that for us today, that we will be cleansed by your blood and free today, Lord, to be innocent and guiltless. And I pray, Father, that for those here today who've been held by guilt and held back from people in their lives, situations where they've wanted to go and wanted to be with, but because of guilt, they haven't been able to do it. But I pray today in the name of Jesus that people will be set free from this guilt. There'll be a freedom for them to go, that nothing will hold them back. And I pray that your love will come, Father, and fill people's hearts, Lord, and they will have courage, Lord, to go to those people and into those situations and to glorify you in Jesus' name.
It's all stand to our feet. You know, if you're not at the front, you can still pray for these guys. But I've just got a word about just deception, the spirit of deception. You know, deception's weird. It kind of puts a front on things that aren't actually true. Jesus said, "Who am I? Who do you say I am?" You know, like Tom said, for years I didn't actually know who he was. This morning, come out the house, how Rebecca wanted to bring this technology thing. I said, "Nah." She said, "I want to show my friends this case, the new case," and she ran in the kitchen to get the case. So I told her off for trying to deceive me. But you know, as Tom was speaking, I just got this sense of this spirit of deception and deliverance this morning, actually. So do you know what? It's deception of a couple of things. One, it's a deceptional lifestyle. You're living your way and you're pretending to be something in a sense that you're not. It might be affluence, which I think it is. It's you look like you've got everything going on and you haven't. The other one is the deception of the Lord Jesus Christ. You walk in the deception of who he is. You're allowing your mind to be kind of watered down and attacked and battered about the reality of his blood, his power, and his death and resurrection for your life. Probably about salvation, actually. And the last deception is just about your brothers and sisters and people in your life. You're deceived about them. You're getting whispers in your mind, accusing them, judging them, and hating them, really. And I want to pray for you to be delivered here. Be muzzled. Be free in Jesus' name.
I've just got one other thing, really, which is, for some of you, when Tom was talking about Jesus waking up and saying, "Where's your faith?" You feel that about yourself. I just wish I had more faith. You know, I just wish that you filled me more, or I felt fuller, so that I was braver and had more courage to step out and do the things that you do. If that's you, I'd love you to come forward as well. Take that step of faith. Come forward. I want more faith. I want more faith. When I hear that phrase, "Oh, ye of little faith," it's me. You know, it hits me straight away. And I want more faith. I know you have a plan for my life, but right now I haven't got the faith to carry it out. So I want that now. Do you want that? Do you want that faith? If that's you, come forward. And I just pray over this whole church now. Do you know what? We need all the faith God has for us to take one step as a church forward. You know, to conquer Teesside on God's behalf takes faith. To conquer your neighbourhood takes faith. To conquer your family takes faith. To conquer the crisis that you're in. To conquer the guilt that you're in. To conquer the deception that you're in. To conquer all those things takes faith. So come now, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your faith. Right now, fill us with your faith to move mountains. Fill us with your faith to cry out your name. Fill us with your faith to be courageous in the street. Fill us with your faith to prophesy and use the gifts that you've given us. Fill us with your faith to dream dreams and have visions. Fill us with your faith to rebuke the devil and all of his evil ways. Fill us now with your faith. Receive his faith. Receive your faith right now.
Just going to lead us in prayer, and we're just going to take authority in the storms of life. I think that's what we've got to do. You know, Jesus spoke with the storm, told us to go, told us to stop. Who's going to take authority? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you right now. And Lord, we take authority over the storms in people's lives, Lord. Lord, we take authority over the storms of fear, and we tell every fear to go. We take authority, Father, over the storms of deception. We tell deception to go. We take authority over the storms of confusion. We say, confusion, go, in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now over the storms of rejection. In the name of Jesus, we say, go, in the name of Jesus. We take authority right now over the storms of anxiety. We say, anxieties, go. Over the storms of anger, we say, anger, go, in the name of Jesus. We take authority over these storms in people's lives that rise up and bring doubt, in the name of Jesus. We say, doubt, go, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you right now that you have come to set us free from the storm. You've come to call calm to the storm. And Lord, we say, release each one from the fears, from the anxieties, from the doubts, in the name of Jesus, from anger, from rejection, in the name of Jesus. Lord, will you come in the power of your Holy Spirit and release your people and bring them in to the wholeness and the freedom that you have for them. In Jesus' powerful name, we say, amen.